Radio 1 podcast. Radio 1 podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello. I'm back from Serbia. Still alive. Only just. Hello, chappers.
Are you alright?
Yeah.
How was it?
I tell you what, Belgrade is absolutely amazing. I had one of the best weekends I've had for ages.
Right.
Eurovision was camp nonsense, but brilliant. Really good. Wasn't the same without Terry's commentary, though, because obviously if I was in the stadium, I couldn't hear that.
Do they not provide you with little headphones?
No.
Oh, right, okay.
But it was good. Surprisingly, we came last again.
Mm. Oh, I'm not interested in the song contest itself. I'm more interested about what you got up to, really.
Right. Okay, so I get to my hotel on Saturday morning.
The hotel that was ideal for the unpretentious traveller.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And there's some kind of, like, neon lights, which are kind of flickering, like off of films outside. Bzz, 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 not all of them working. Anyway, so I'm like, right, okay, go in. There's some very strange men on reception and the way in. As I walk past, I don't know which country they're from, somewhere in Europe.
Mm.
But as I walk past, they just went, cheeky, cheeky. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
They weren't the receptionist.
No, they were just sat around in the hotel lobby, if you can call it that.
So this hotel for the unpretentious traveller just had men in reception saying, cheeky.
And then,
they were definitely men.
They were men.
Not the cheeky girls.
No. Then, when I checked in, they kept my passport. Now, that worried me a little bit.
What, the cheeky, cheeky men?
No, the people...
That would have worried you more.
yeah. The people behind reception.
Oh, right, okay.
And then they were like, okay, fourth floor. So, that's quite a way up, the fourth floor. So I went to get into the lift.
Mm.
And there's a big sign on it going, elevator, not work. Good. So, and then I went into the room and... Yeah. It was for the unpretentious traveller. There were bottles under the bed.
Right.
And the bathroom had... There wasn't a shower. It was hardly a bathroom. And it was like a small room with just filth everywhere. And...
filth everywhere?
Yeah, just dirt everywhere. And
in the bathroom?
Yeah, and then I had to... If you wanted to have a wash, you had to kind of crouch inside the very small bath and put your head under the tap. Therefore... creating a shower experience without actually having one. And also because the floor was so horrible in the main area, which is about smaller than the size of this room here,
yeah.
I had to put one of the sheets from the bed down on the floor so I could walk around because the floor was so minging.
That sounds a bit Mariah Carey-esque, that. You needed a fresh white sheet to walk over because you wouldn't touch the floor.
If you'd seen the floor, you would have done the same.
Did you meet any nice Serbian men that asked you this?
What? Oh,
this.
Šta misliš? Ja ti Terry Vogan u Troy.
No, I didn't.
No Serbian man asked you that?
No.
Šta misliš? Ja ti I Pat Butcher.
No.
Nobody asked
no
for
asked
you, me, Terry Wogan, how about it? Or
no.
You, me, Pat Butcher, how about it?
No.
You're not making eye contact with me, though, when you say no.
They didn't.
Not even the cheeky, cheeky men?
No, they didn't. They were, I don't think they were from Serbia, they're from a different part of Europe. But it was a bit like this.
Okay, we are going to the spa. You will join us?
You should come.
The spa. There was hardly a bathroom. I'd have been glad of a spa. Radio 1
Podcast. So you were leaving messages from Eurovision, were you?
Yeah, Annie Mac asked me to leave some messages on her phone.
Yeah.
Just, you know, updates of how the evening was going from Belgrade.
Okay, which you did, yes?
Yeah.
And they started off quite well, did they not?
Yeah.
Hi, Annie, it's Scott. Just to say that I am in the Belgrade Arena and I'm about to watch the Eurovision Song Contest. I've never seen anything like it in my life. There's just people with flags.
Sounded fine, yeah?
Sounded good, like sounded like a proper Eurovision correspondent, if there is such a thing.
Hi, Annie, I've just nipped out for a second. So far, my favourite has been Bosnia. There were four old women on stage dressed up as brides.
Yeah.
Still sounding very good, very, you know, proper and giving out the information correctly.
Okay.
Hi, Annie, it's just got here. It's the interval now where people start voting who's going to win. I want it to be Sweden because they're both amazing.
Yeah, now, I can spot a slight change in the voice here. And whereas you were quite well describing Bosnia, I have wanted to be Sweden because they're amazing.
Now, I'll tell you why this happened, okay?
Yes.
Because they made me mix my drinks.
Who made you mix?
The people at the arena.
What, the cheeky cheeky men?
No, the people behind the bar at Belgrade Arena.
What, the people serving made you mix your drinks?
Yes.
And how does that work?
Okay, do you want to hear the next one?
Yeah, I do,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, we're lost again. Scott, I'm just watching Russia, an old performance.
Oh, good. We must have got cut off.
We're on the leaderboard last.
Now it's just a gabble and a noise now. So
okay.
What were you drinking?
Right, the first time I went to the bar,
yeah.
Hello, two beers, please.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. I had two beers. Not I didn't have two beers. The person with me.
Yeah.
Okay. Second time, hello, two beers, please.
No.
Okay, I just had a beer before. I was like, why can't I have a beer?
No, not allowed. The cops say not allowed.
The cops?
The cops had been watching you?
The cops had banned... No, they haven't been watching me. It was a blanket rule.
Right.
No beer.
Okay.
But they went, you can have wine. I went, oh, well...
They had been watching you. They knew all about you.
Who am I to argue? So I had some wine. See, mixing the drinks.
Yeah.
So then I went back third time. Hello, can I have some wine, please?
No, not allowed.
Oh, God. Okay, so can I have... What can I have? Beer. Okay, so I can have beer again now.
Yeah.
Right? But
you're only allowed to put in two cups.
So I had to take one beer and put it in two cups. Every time I went back to the bar, the rules changed.
Well, they're not just trying to, obviously, get
you me
drunk. Yeah.
So I can leave messages like this.
We're on the leaderboard last.
Yeah. So that's their fault.
So you had two beers and a glass of wine, and it got you in that state.
And another beer, but only half a cupful.
No, presumably very strong Serbian
beer.
Very
strong beer, mate, yeah.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Now, Rob's been on saying, we're listening in the labour ward at Macclesfield Hospital at the moment, where Helen, my wife, is close to giving birth to our third child. Can you imagine that? Do you remember? I remember I had the Radio 1, I was in Macclesfield Hospital, about to give birth, and... Oh, really? What were you listening to? I was listening to Annie Nightingale's Amazing Inventions. Now, this is... Andy's helped us out with this. Some brand new inventions, okay?
Yeah.
And I want you can play along at home. It's play along at home fun. You to decide whether they are real inventions or whether we just made them up, okay?
Okay.
So here's Annie with the first amazing invention.
You know what it's like. You fancy a beer, but you're with your dog. And you have to think to yourself, if only me and my dog could have a beer together. He's my best friend after all, and that's what I do with my other friends. Well, now you can, with Dog Beer, or DB for short. It's an Australian invention designed by a pet shop owner when she noticed her dogs, Louis and Vuitton, leaping for drops of beer. The slogan is, shout your best friend a beer. Apparently, it tastes like beef, and smells like beer.
Oh yeah, that's amazing invention. Dog beer tastes like beef.
No,
smells
no,
like beer.
No Aussie at all would call their dogs Louis and Vuitton.
You know what it's like. You fancy a beer, but you're with your dog.
No, I don't really.
I could not that I would ever have a dog, but if I did have a dog, I would still feel that I could have a beer even if I had the dog with me.
Me too.
There is an Aussie beer called DB, but it's not a dog beer, so I don't believe this one.
So you're saying
I think you've made this one up.
You're saying dog beer, the amazing invention,
yeah,
is not real.
No. Oh, you're building the tension here.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Just do the noise yourself.
You're wrong.
That's real.
That is real. Dog beer. Oh yeah. Dog beer is real. Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Have you got it up there?
Yeah.
Can you see it?
It is. And no alcohol beer brewed especially for dogs.
See. So now you can. lessen the guilt, because you can have a beer and have your dog there at the same time.
And there's a man sat at a bar with a dog on his lap, also at the bar.
Yeah, because dogs feel left out if you're having a beer and they're not. They do. Maybe.
My God.
Are you ready for the next Annie Nightingale amazing invention?
That picture reminds me once where I was in a bar at Manchester Piccadilly at the train station there with a man and his guide dog. Hmm. And whilst the man was sat having a beer...
The dog was also having a beer?
No, his guide dog wandered off.
That's not good, is it?
No, it's not.
Especially after a beer.
No, it's got to get it back for him.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, that's so nice
Dave
of you.
Dave did. I didn't because I'm scared of him.
Hmm. Okay, you ready for the next amazing invention? Ready? Is this real or not real? Play along at home.
So, you've quit smoking, but you know what it's like. You really miss having that thing in your hands. You miss putting the tip in your mouth and inhaling. You miss blowing out smoke. But there's nothing you can do. Smoking is banned everywhere. Well, that's where you're wrong. Thanks to the Gamuchi microelectronic cigarette, you can puff away in public again. It looks just like a cigarette, but the smoke is just vapour, which is produced thanks to state-of-the-art microelectronic technology. It's safe, has no tobacco, but you can still look like a dirty smoker. Great!
Oh yeah, that's the electronic cigarette.
I think that's real. I've read about that.
Why do you think that's real?
I think I've read about it.
Have you?
I think so.
I never thought I'd hear Annie Nightingale say this.
You miss putting the tip in your mouth.
Stop it.
So,
for God's sake.
Actually, you are correct.
That
does exist.
I read it. Let's move on from that one, shall we?
All right, you ready for the next amazing invention from Annie? Here it is.
You know what it's like? You're an exotic dancer, and most of your money comes from tips.
Oh, I don't know what it's like, Annie, actually.
I don't either.
That's never crossed my mind. Sorry, again.
You know what it's like? You're an exotic dancer, and most of your money comes from tips. But the problem is, as your clothes come off, there are less places for your customers to put the money. Well, help is at hand with the 7-inch exotic dancer shoes. They feature a 7-inch high heel and a built-in tip jar located in the sole of the shoe. It's like a piggy bank in the base of your stilettos. Now, no more embarrassment of where to put the cash when you drop your drawers, thanks to the 7-inch exotic dancer shoes.
Thank you, Annie. So, is that real or not real?
She sounds like she knows what she's talking about there.
You know what it's like?
I don't know.
She's obsessed with tips this afternoon, isn't she?
Real or not real?
Not real. I can't imagine that you'd... No, not real.
A little compartment in the basement of your stiletto, so if your drawers come off, you can still put the money in your shoes.
It's very difficult to get money into a stiletto, I would imagine.
So you're saying that's not really
whilst they're trying to dance. That can't be true.
I'm afraid... Oh, jeez. You're wrong. Oh, yeah. That is a real invention. I'm now going to show you the picture. Check out those stilettos.
Oh, you couldn't dance in them, could you?
I like it that the compartment on the bottom of the heel says tips on it. That makes it for me.
And it's see-through as well, which means if you're rubbish, then everybody would be able to see. You wouldn't have got any money in your shoes.
That is real. Check it out. I mean, if you don't, people are like, oh, I don't believe that's real. Have a look online. Seriously, it's all out there. Just Google it.
Killer heels.
Ready for your next one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever thought to yourself, why do I bother wearing a watch? I really don't use it to tell the time. That's what the Swiss watchmaker Romain Jerome discovered and set about inventing something new. And they did it. The new invention is the day-night watch. Costing $300,000, it looks like a watch, but it doesn't actually tell the time. Instead, it simply tells you if it's day or night, using a complex measurement of the Earth's gravity. The CEO of the company said, anyone can buy a watch that tells the time, but only a truly discerning customer can buy one that doesn't.
There we are. So that's the watch that doesn't tell the time, but does tell you whether it's day or night.
Have you ever thought to yourself, why do I bother wearing a watch?
No.
Me neither.
No.
She's obviously thought about all these things, though. Really? I'm going to say no, not real.
You're saying that's not real.
Not real.
Once again, you're wrong. That is a real invention. Seriously.
A watch that doesn't tell the time?
Yeah, and costs $300,000.
And it'll just tell you whether it's day or night?
Yeah, which you could probably do by going simply going outside.
Looking out the window.
Yeah. You've got to be really rich to get one of them, haven't you?
Have you bought one?
No. I don't wear a watch, though.
Maybe. No. Yeah.
Okay, would you like to hear the final Annie's amazing invention?
Yeah.
Here it is.
Imagine you're far away from your lover. You know what it's like. Oh. You have your phone, but what you really want to do is touch them, caress them, gently stroke them. Well, now you can, thanks to a new mobile phone prototype from Finland. You run your finger along the device, and at the other end, a thing that's like your finger seems to be coming out of your lover's handset. So now you can caress them wherever you are in the world. Thanks, people of Finland.
So you just kind of run your finger along this mouse-type thing.
Yeah. Well, and that has an effect on me.
No. It's on the handset. And then a kind of alien, I'll show you, the alien thing kind of comes out of their handset and it's like touching them.
Right.
Mm. So you can caress them even when you're not with them.
You want me to say whether that's real or not? On the basis that you just said I'll show you, I would imply...
Oh, rubbish.
Imply yes, it's real.
Oh, yeah, you're right. What would you said otherwise?
Nothing. I'd have said yes, it's real.
No, yeah, of course you would.
Yeah, nothing gets past me.
Thank you very much for playing along at home. That was Annie Nightingale's Amazing Inventions.
Revolting.
I know, look it up, it is disgusting. It is like some horrible alien film. Horrible.
Oh, that would be like being... Yes, it'd be like being felt by an alien.
Make sure you check out Annie Nightingale. It's a great show.
Worse.
Saturday morning, 5 till 7.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
Right, now, what's this clip you were playing me earlier?
Right, me and Dave did Weekend Breakfast on Sunday, and the producer of Weekend Breakfast saying, had we heard from, three or four weeks ago, a news bulletin that Nihal had on his show.
Right.
Involving one of the Newsbeat newsreaders... stuffing up her headline.
Right.
She's meant to say, and Scottish oil workers have started striking.
Okay.
So striking is the word that she's meant to say.
Now, at 7.30, it's Maddie Savage and Tim Peach.
FM. Online.
This is Radio 1.
Scottish oil workers have started drinking, and the Premier League title's still up for grabs.
Now, it's not even close, is it?
How did she get that
How do you confuse striking and drinking?
Now, at 7.30, it's Maddie Savage and Tim Peach.
FM.
Online.
This is Radio 1.
Scottish oil workers have started drinking.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Now, you know, we were talking a bit earlier about the man with the guide dog at Manchester Piccadilly Station.
Yes.
Who was having a beer and his dog walked off.
Yes.
And then Comedy Dave went to get the dog back for him.
Yeah.
Now, on that subject,
mm-hmm.
someone who was in Serbia that I knew at the weekend that I met up for a drink on the Sunday... was saying, we were just talking, I don't know how we got onto it, but he was saying that you don't just get guide dogs.
Right.
Do you know anything about this?
No.
Right. Like, in some places, they use different animals, not just dogs.
What?
He told me you can get guide pigs.
Guide pigs?
Yeah. Now, am I being gullible by believing him?
Yeah, but then I didn't think some of Annie's inventions were real, and it turned out they all were. Yes, I think you are. He told you this on the Sunday, or did he tell you on the Saturday whilst you were delivering messages to Annie Mac as the beer and the wine took hold?
Sunday afternoon, having a coffee in a cafe. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But then he was convinced that you can get guide pigs. I've never seen that. I mean, for instance, today I went for a little run in the park, saw a blind lady with a dog, that's quite standard. I've never seen anyone with a pig, have you?
No, not as a guide pig.
Got some good news for you. We've got you an animal to help you out, but it's not a dog. Here's your new friend. So you think that's not true?
I don't believe that.
Right, he was adamant that this is true.
Was it called Babe?
You know when people get really stroppy because they're like, no, it is, it's true, right? Apparently you can have guide horses as well.
And how on earth do you do that?
Aren't they a bit big?
Yes. You can't be led down the street by a horse.
Well, you could.
Well, that man at Manchester Piccadilly couldn't have sat at the bar having a beer...
with a pig.
Well, we could with a pig, maybe. You could get the pig into the bar, but not with a horse.
Yeah.
couldn't put, you know, tether his guide horse up whilst he had a pint. And
it's like one of those rubbish jokes you get sent on email, isn't it? Horse walks into a bar.
They are. People are saying you can get guide horse. You can't get guide horse.
Right, okay, let's check it out. Charlotte and Edinburgh, no joke. You can get guide horses. Yeah, you can get guide. Yes? Oh my God, you really can't. Yeah, you can get guide ponies, says Becky. No one's texting about guide pigs yet. Okay, yes, they have. Rich and Wrexham.
Well done, Rich and Wrexham.
Rich and Wrexham. Guide pigs are real. Right, we need to look this up. Radio 1 Podcast. Hello.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, who's that?
It's Vicky from Fife.
Hi, Vicky from Fife. How can I help you today?
I just wanted to say that there are such things as guide ponies. They're mostly used in America. And they're a breed of pony called a Falabella, which is about the size of a large dog. It's about the size of kind of a golden retriever.
So you're saying that there are guide horses?
Absolutely, but definitely.
Why would you have a guide horse as opposed to a guide dog?
I don't know. mainly an American thing.
Right. Well, they don't have dogs in America, no? Right, how do you know this?
Because I'm a riding instructor.
Oh, I see.
And because when I was out in America, I saw them.
You can't ride them, though, surely?
No, they're like, you know, they're very, very little. They're size, I mean, very small children could ride them.
Right.
But they are the size of kind of a large dog.
Right. Well, that's brilliant.
But, yeah.
And you could take that into places with you?
Yep.
You could take that into a pub with you?
You could.
I might get one.
Bar. When I was out in America, there was a local bar, and a man would come in every day with his little guide pony.
Wow.
And he would sit at the bar and have his pony next to him.
That's pretty cool. I like that. What about guide pigs?
I don't know about guide pigs.
Right.
I haven't seen any of those, so I'm not sure.
If there's any pig experts listening that know about this, could you please text 81199? Because I think that maybe I've been gullible.
There's no such thing as a guide budgie, though, is there?
No, there's not.
No, that's
or a guide badger. Don't be so stupid.
Carlos in Belfast, duh.
Or guide mice. Don't be so stupid. Not that gullible, all right? Podcast. I was talking earlier about when you just say the wrong thing or the wrong word. Like poor Maddie off Newsbeat did a couple of weeks ago. What was the word she was supposed to say?
Striking.
Okay, so in this clip, she's supposed to say striking.
Oil workers have started striking.
Scottish oil workers have started drinking and the Premier League title...
No idea why she said that at all. Hello, Radio 1.
Hi, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
No, I'm not bad, mate, I'm not bad.
What's your name?
Al.
What are you saying, Al?
I once told my boss, Kelly, that I had a girl in my boot of the car.
Right.
To that, I've got a blank expression and a shocked look.
Well, hello, I've got a girl in the boot of my car. Right, what were you supposed to say?
Tools. I had tools in the boot.
But you just said the word, instead of tools, you just randomly said the word girl.
Yeah.
Why?
I have absolutely no idea.
You've never had a girl in the boot of your car?
None of the girls in work came near me for the rest of the day.
I can see why that would happen.
We've had it's amazing how many teachers have done this.
Yeah.
But I won't say who this is.
No, I just called her. She's like, no, I probably don't want to come on. It might be the end of my career.
She was taking a photo of her class of 8-year-olds, and instead of telling them to say smile, told them to say
Budweiser.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Are you ready for some badly bleeped TV?
Yes, I am.
You're actually crying. What's going on?
Yeah, I can't read it. I can't read it out. Just a very funny text about somebody getting words wrong from Rob in Bedford.
Right. Compose yourself.
Yeah.
You need to concentrate for this. It's okay. Badly bleeped TV. It's just missing words.
Mm.
What we do is watch some highbrow programmes on the television, and then you have to guess what the word is that's missing. And it's not just you, Chopper. All the listeners can play along as well. All right?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's our first piece of badly bleeped TV. I just need to know what the word is that's bleeped out. This is from Newsnight Review. With Kirsty Walk. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Love You More is a shit story of teenage passion.
Shocking.
You think shocking?
Yeah.
And Love You More is a shit story of teenage passion.
Okay, let's see if you're right.
And Love You More is a short story of teenage passion.
Short. Got that one wrong. So short was the answer there. Let me know if you got that right on 81199. Ready for the next one?
Yes.
Okay, this is from a TV report on BBC News about Eurovision.
Okay.
Let me know what you think.
But there has been criticism of block voting by Eastern European countries. supporting their neighbours.
So, what do you think? What's the word?
Countries.
Countries.
But there has been criticism of block voting by Eastern European countries supporting their neighbours.
Yay! Got that one right. Well done. Well done. And now, the next one. Are you ready?
Yes.
This is from Newsnight with Gavin Esler.
Okay.
Let me know.
Tonight, a historic by-election defeat for Labour. Are they now f***ed as an electoral force?
What do you think? Do you want to hear it again?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Are they now f***ed as an electoral force?
Finished.
Are they now finished as an electoral force?
Yay!
I'm
well
getting
done.
Better at this.
You really are. Well done.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1.
Oh, let me take a call. Hello, Radio 1.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Who are you?
Kenny from Nottingham.
How can I help?
Reference your story on the guide pigs. They actually do exist.
Right, how do you know this?
One was recently featured on an edition of Countryfile on the very own BBC.
Wow.
And they're called assistant pigs.
So they're assistant pigs?
Yeah, assistants, I should say. Yeah, not assistant, assistant pigs.
Right. Personal assistant.
you were considering it for a while, weren't you?
Do you carry my bags?
And apparently, pigs are more intelligent than dogs, apparently.
I've heard that, apparently, yes. I said apparently a lot, so I was just copying.
How do people know that, though?
I don't know.
How do you measure a pig's intelligence compared
know.
To a dog's intelligence?
If you know someone that's ever had a guide pig, see, people are texting in going,
an assistance pig.
Assistance pig, then let me know on 81199. People are texting in, but when I call them back, they're like, oh, I made it up. Don't do that. I'm trying to actually find out the truth. Now, a few people have sent me this story on email. Now, this is not really the same. Can I read this to you?
Yeah.
US Airways acted reasonably when it allowed a pig to fly first class from Philadelphia to Seattle. Maria Andrews brought Charlotte, her 300-pound Vietnamese pot-bellied pig, on the flight, telling the airline it was a therapeutic companion pet. Andrews said her heart condition was so severe she needed the pig to relieve stress.
Hey?
Needed
the pig to relieve stress.
Therapeutic, see? Pigs. Under federal rules, airlines must permit a service animal to accompany passengers to their seats. The airline filed an incident report based on passenger complaints that the pig became unruly when the plane landed. The animal tried to enter the cockpit and refused to leave the galley until a passenger tossed food at her, according to the report. That's not the same... That's not the same thing at all, but I quite like it.
Radio 1,
Scott Mills.
How does a pig try to enter the cockpit? Well, did he walk out to the door and knock? With a... What do they have? Trotters? Hoof? What
trotters?
Trotters.
Yeah. Quite hard to get into a cockpit these days, anyway. Especially if you're a pig.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
You know, we've been playing this clip from EastEnders for a while now of Pat Butcher sounding a little bit wrong.
Just a bit further.
Now, that's her hobbling around on crutches.
Yeah.
Now, Jono, off of unofficialmills.co.uk.
Oh, yes.
Which is some a fan site.
Yeah. Very good as well.
Has found this. Also, equally horrible, because now they're doing it on ITV1 as well. It's Coronation Street. Here's Ken Barlow.
That's not going to be big enough.
I'm trying to find the stopcock.
It won't budge.
That's Ken Barlow trying to fix a shelf on Coronation Street.
A shower.
A shower.
Yeah.
How is it?
How do
Can
you
fix
a shelf using a stopcock?
That's why I don't do DIY.
Yeah. Do you want to know what makes...
What is a stopcock?
It's a thing under a sink normally that turns the water off.
And don't get on shelves, no?
No, nothing to do with shelves.
Okay.
Do you know the worst thing that adds to that clip is that the person in the shower at the time is Blanche.
Oh, God.
So keep that in your memory.
That's not going to be big enough.
I'm trying to find the stopcock.
It won't budge.
Now I hear that.
Can I ask what you thought the noise of going into a sort of tin was? If you thought he was trying to fix a... What do you think he was doing? Having a wee at the same time he's trying to fix a shelf?
I've got to be honest. I've got to hold my hands up and say I didn't think that through.
Okay.
Yeah. Happy? Now, obviously, it wouldn't be right if, you know, we didn't put both of them together, Pat Butcher and Ken Barlow.
No.
That's not going to be big enough.
I'm trying to find a stopcock. Oh,
just a bit further.
It won't budge.
Pat and Ken, love.
With Blanche in the shower.
More TV. Maybe you're thinking, what the hell was that on Beat the Star, our favourite show with Vernon Kay last night? Would you like to hear the best game from this week's show?
Yes, please.
Here it is.
We're going to give you both 90 seconds to build a paper aeroplane from the items that you can see in front of you on the table.
That is amazing.
I'm hoping that really on the table should just be some paper.
Whoever throws it the farthest wins.
Yeah. Once again, the German TV producers are laughing. They've got a beer on. They're like, ha-ha! They bought it!
It's our game for the paper aeroplanes. They went for it again! They'll buy anything at all, the stupid English.
And it's on primetime television.
On your table, you've got a piece of paper, some sellotape, some card, paper clips, tape, scissors, and a marker pen.
Wow.
And a marker pen?
Yeah. What's that for?
What do you need?
I don't know. So you can draw lifelike stuff on it.
Right, that'll help it go further.
No final adjustments.
Oh, no. You're not allowed to have any final adjustments. Listen to the tension.
How are you feeling, Jamie?
Very, very scared about this one, I'm afraid.
Right, so he's building a paper aeroplane.
Then he's terrified.
He's terrified. And now listen what happens.
You've just invented a paper aeroplane that goes backwards.
So that was the amazing game from Beat the Star... yesterday.
That wasn't Martina Navratilova one.
That wasn't that one, no. Also, I need to draw your attention to a show that is going to be on Five tomorrow night. Now, you know some people, they really, really like their cars, don't they?
Yeah.
They love their cars. Some people have names for them. You can call them She and stuff. Now, they don't love them as much as Edward does.
Okay.
Okay. Edward is the star of this show tomorrow night on Five, and the name of the show is My Car, My Lover. Check this out.
Edward was an early riser.
She's going to go for his girlfriend.
Unaware that we were also up, he grabbed the opportunity to get intimate with our car.
Right, so when you see this, Edward is actually full-on kissing the car. Like, actually, at the front of the car, giving it a proper snog.
Well, like the bonnet of the car?
Yeah. And what? A bit of headlight. Actually kissing it.
Oh,
the car that the reporter had on. Listen.
Hey, good morning, Vanilla. How you doing, kiddo?
That was, morning, Vanilla. How you doing, kiddo? Talking to the car.
Before he snogged it.
Yeah. Check this bit out.
Gave her a little loving before going to bed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she liked that.
Mm-hmm. So that's a show called My Car, My Lover, which is going to be on Five tomorrow. Seriously, where do they find these people? How do you find some bloke in America that snogs his car?
Trust me, Channel 5 will put any old pillock on the telly.
Yeah, but I can understand how they found you.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
I'm just astonished how they find these people for these shows. What are they, do they get someone? Does someone ring them up or something? All right, mate. I know this. Is that a TV company? Yeah. I know this bloke. Right, loves his car. In fact, he loves it so much he snogged it and wants to marry it. Are you interested in doing a show? Yes, we'd love that. Right. What's this thing that everyone's texting in about the story in the Sun today?
About some woman falling in love with a wall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's, yeah.
I'm married to the Berlin Wall, says the headline.
How do they do that? Does someone ring up and go, I know a woman, right, who wants to marry the Berlin Wall. Are you interested in doing a show?
She first saw him.
Or did they put an advert in the paper? Wanted, woman who is in love with Berlin Wall.
Do you want me to... Oh, my God.
We promise we won't take the mick out of you.
She claims she's been married for 29 years to the giant structure.
Right.
She first fell for her fella when she saw him on TV.
Right. Here, I've got it now. She says, I find long, slim things with horizontal lines really attractive.
Yeah.
The Great Wall of China's quite nice, but he's too thick.
Yes, my husband is sexier.
Yeah. Right.
While the rest of mankind rejoiced when the wall was torn down in 1989, poor Eja was mortified.
So she's married...
What they did was awful. They mutilated my husband.
She's married the Berlin Wall.
It would appear so. And then there's a little Dear Deirdre advice to her.
No, I love that.
She's good as Deirdre. She can do advice
anything.
On anything.
You're going to marry a wall, Deirdre's there. Anything you... any kind of emotional, sexual problem...
Something gave her an emotional message that she was better off caring for a wall than people with all their demands.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.